Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
LAPD's chief is being sued for the systemic targeting of journalists with violence at protests.
Police are supposed to take into account the potential of incidental impact on journalists. So just being caught in the crossfire, oops, sorry, I was aiming at someone else, that's no excuse under the law. And the fact of the matter is that LAPD has been acting unlawfully, and they know it all the way up to the top.
Republicans respond to a nationwide day of peaceful protests and preview the next steps in immigration enforcement here in LA.
What we've seen in LA and what we've seen in other Democrat strongholds, where it becomes violent, where, you know, you have to bring in the National Guard to protect the ICE law enforcement officers who are doing their job, or you have to bring in the Marines to protect federal buildings.
Welcome to the Hopefully It's a Quieter Week edition of the LA Local for Monday, June 16th, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service, who needed a lot more than 2 days to reset this weekend. Has anyone checked in on that 4-day work week proposal yet recently? We're making progress on that, or asking for a friend? Coming up on today's Local, an LA-based advocacy group for journalists says enough is enough for the LAPD roughing up media at protests. The Republican National Committee attempts to explain why Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York deserve special treatment in immigration enforcement, and the unintended consequences of LA County's so-called mansions tax. But let's start with the LA Press Club filing a lawsuit today in federal district court against LAPD Chief Jim McDonald. It's alleging that the LAPD has used excessive force against members of the media as they cover protests. In its complaint, the Press Club wrote this, quote, "Being a journalist in Los Angeles is now a dangerous profession. LAPD actions during the June 2025 protests in downtown Los Angeles reveal a brazen refusal to abide by the Constitution and repeats the same conduct by the defendant city repeatedly held to be unconstitutional by federal courts for the last 25 years. So I called up Adam Rose to talk about it. He's secretary of the LA Press Club and chairs the Press Rights Committee. He started off by detailing a long history of abuse of journalists at the hands of LAPD.
I think that the large pattern, and in particular the pattern with LAPD, emerged in 2000 coming out of the DNC when it comes to their treatment of the press, and especially their mistreatment of the press within so many flashpoints. 2007 Mayday melee. We have the 2011 Occupy protests, the 2020 Black Lives Matter, George Floyd protests, 2021 Echo Park, 2022 abortion rights. And then you can fast forward to 2024 when, frankly, LAPD stood by and watched press being assaulted by protesters at the Palestine-Israel protests. And now 2025, we have perhaps the most galling series of incidents, the most incidents in such a compact amount of time, where LAPD officers are violating the rights of the media who are just there trying to do their job.
And I would guess this pattern of behavior is going to be prominent in the lawsuit, but also talk about what seemed to be from reporters in our own newsroom here, colleagues in the field. There are so many stories of members of the media identifying themselves as journalists and complying with police orders and still having officers, and a lot of the time on camera, take point blank aim with non lethal rounds and fire at them. I imagine you have some incidents of this documented. That's part of the lawsuit. If you could lay some of those out.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, there are many incidents from just the past week. And what we're often hearing from press is that they were readily identifiable. They were not participating in a protest. They were not mistakable with the protester. They certainly were breaking no law. And despite that, they get gassed. They get shot with less than lethal munitions, or euphemistically, really less lethal munitions, have taken lives, and they have seriously life-changing levels of injury. Those have been caused by these munitions that LAPD is using. And, you know, there's a really scary dynamic out here, which I think is that LAPD often is sending out people who are, frankly, undertrained and inexperienced, and they are not messaging this correctly. And, I think we'll see more and more of this come out in the lawsuit, and I think we'll see more and more of this come out as public officials begin to investigate and try and understand what we've been telling city leadership and LAPD brass for years now, since those 2020 BLM protests when so many of our colleagues were injured, were wounded, were arrested and detained.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up previous administration too, because I remember having a long talk with Chief Moore in the aftermath of the 2020 protests and pointing out that there were multiple instances where it looked like this was not accidental, but this was targeted. And I'll go even one further. I mean, you mentioned riot officers who were untrained. I mean, is there evidence that it's not just a matter of a lack of training or following of procedures, but that in some cases, media are being very obviously targeted? And I really bring back to the most egregious example from this last round of protests is the Australia camera crew, which was a good, somewhere between 50 to 100 yards away from a skirmish line. This is all on camera, by the way. And you can see as an Australian reporter and her cameraman start walking away, following the protest line, backing away from officers, a cop on the edge of the line turn, stare, check them out for a good, 10 to 15 seconds, all on camera, take aim carefully, and fire. I mean, this does seem to cross the line from just bad training, accidents, crossfire to purposeful.
Well, I can't put myself in the head of another person, but I can speak to culture and I can speak to history. And, you know, what I would say is that for years I've heard from, even people in command staff roles who have said, well, yeah, we acknowledge there's a few bad apples out there. That's not exactly the case when we have the scale of this that we are seeing. It's a lot of bad apples, and it's not to besmirch the entire department and people who put their lives on the line for public safety and do a marvelous job of that. It is to say that in these situations, we are seeing what very well may be intentional targeting of the press. That's horrifying. But let me talk a little bit about that culture. Years ago, Chief Bratton, he kind of walked back his comments, but he was caught on mic saying, "No human being on the planet goes out of control faster than a police officer." That was the chief of police saying that. And what he said later is that you have to control police officers. The truth of the matter is that there's a cultural problem within LAPD targeting press. Now, how do we address that? Part of its leadership and being explicit and loud that we need to protect the press. Part of who they are supposed to protect and serve is the press. And it is the press's job to respond to an incident, not unlike any other first responder, by running toward the danger. But that doesn't mean that the police get to abuse the press, nor should they target them. And I will hear over and over from LAPD leadership, well, we've gotten so much better. Well, we're addressing those bad apples. I have yet to be made aware of, because they don't really publicize this, but of all the dozens and dozens of incidents over the last 5 years with LAPD doing similar to what they've been doing the past week, I don't know of a single officer who is actually disciplined. And because they don't make that information available, even though I'm skeptical they even did anything, even if they could somehow make this information available, it would go so far in sending a message that this behavior is wrong.
Obviously, we're pretty close to the story here, so we're reporting it delicately. Two of our reporters, Craig Figner, Pete Demetrio, were both hit with non-lethal rounds in the last week. Pete took a rubber shell to the leg, while Craig got a face full of tear gas after he was fired on by the LAPD. It's just hard to come to any other conclusion, after watching this type of behavior for years, that there isn't some kind of large contingent of LAPD officers who are knowingly, purposefully, shooting rubber bullets and gas at journalists. And since nobody ever seems to be disciplined for it, that this all has the tacit approval of LAPD senior commanders. That's what it seems like from our end anyways. We'll see how this lawsuit plays out. Stay tuned. All right, let's take care of some business with a quick break. When we return, I talk with a senior advisor to the Republican National Committee who justifies ICE raids targeting almost exclusively Democratic-run cities in blue states. And what has LA County's mansion tax done to the high-end real estate market after 2 years in action? Stay tuned. It's the LA Local.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thanks for sticking with this Monday edition of the LA Local. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. President Trump, on his social media platform this morning, seemed to preview ever more aggressive ICE raids into places like Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. I'll give you one guess as to what those three cities have in common. Actually, you know what? You don't even need to guess. The president laid it all out there for us. Quote, "These radical left Democrats are sick of mind. hate our country, and actually want to destroy our inner cities, says the president of the United States. Quote, and that is why I want ICE, Border Patrol, and our great and patriotic law enforcement officers to focus on our crime-ridden and deadly inner cities. Close quote. Now that sounds especially patriotic right there. Gotta love the president's support for our big cities. Where are those similar types of immigration enforcement activities in places like Miami or Houston? To get some clarity, I called up Danielle Alvarez. She's a senior advisor to the Republican National Committee, and we started off discussing the No Kings protests from over the weekend. The RNC's reaction to the No Kings protests on Saturday, you know, the fact that at crowd estimates at hundreds of protest sites across the country, anywhere from 4 to 6 million people showed up, and remarkably, like, I don't know of any reports of damage, looting, any serious altercations with police, anything like that. It actually turned out to be a pretty peaceful, wide-scale protest kind of day. The RNC's reaction to all that.
Yeah, I'll be really honest. You know, I was aware of the No Kings protests that were taking place around the country, but Republicans in a majority of the country, and that includes, you know, more than the folks in the No Kings protests, were really focused on the Flag Day and the 250th anniversary of the Army. It was huge. It was a great moment for the country. Obviously, alternatively, Democrats held No Kings protests. You know, everyone has the First Amendment protected right to protest peacefully. And fortunately, I saw a very funny meme online that just sort of said, like, fortunately, there are no kings in this country. And President Trump won with nearly 80 million votes.
Transitioning to what comes next here, you mentioned having to bring in the National Guard and even the Marines. And of course, it was over the objections of the governor of California, the mayor of Los Angeles, the police chief of Los Angeles, LA County Sheriff. All of them said they didn't want the Marines, didn't want the National Guard, didn't need them. But going forward, the president seems to be pretty committed to this approach. And in fact, I mean, in this long post on social media, on Truth Social, he focuses in on Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, and he calls them Democrat power centers. Explain to me, though, what the mass deportation strategy, which is, you know, he campaigned on, we knew this was coming, what does that have to do with Democrats, though? I mean, shouldn't the focus be on carrying out deportations of illegal immigrants? Why the focus on Democrat power centers in these cities? That struck me as strange.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that the deportation's happening all over the country. But for example, in my home state of Florida, you don't have a governor and you don't have elected officials who are combating law enforcement for following the law, for implementing the law. And in Democrat-run cities and what is self-declared sanctuary cities, in places like California and places like Chicago or New York City, et cetera, you have individuals, and you mentioned it yourself, you know, Gavin Newsom, Mayor Bath, who are saying, you know, that they will not comply.
So I'm glad you brought up the conservative versus Democratic strongholds. And the president mentions you don't hear about sanctuary cities in our heartland. But I saw some stats that it estimated half of the illegal immigrants in this country are concentrated in California, Florida, and Texas. You just don't see yet, at least, I don't know if they're coming, but again, this emphasis on going after Democrat-run states and cities, I've not heard of the type of very provocative raids deep into Hispanic communities in Miami and St. Pete, Tampa, Tallahassee, certainly not Austin, Dallas, San Antonio. Nothing has matched what we've seen here in LA and in Chicago and starting to see to some extent in New York. It does feel like this is more about the politics of punishing Democrats in blue areas rather than actually sticking to good faith enforcement of immigration laws, right? I mean, if you've got half of the nation's immigrants concentrated in one big blue state and two big red states, but all the actions in the blue state, something does seem a bit off.
I would actually push back hard on that. I would say that deportations are happening all over this country. You know, having worked for the president on his campaign, having spoken to him personally on this issue, knowing Stephen Miller and Tom Hillman and Secretary Noem very well, I can assert that it is happening all over the country. Now, I think that that's a bit of media bias because we are seeing Democrats in sanctuary cities push back. And so that that becomes elevated in the news cycle. And so what we do end up hearing in this 24-hour news coverage that we now live in is we end up hearing a lot about LA, and we end up hearing a lot about California.
Well, Danielle, hang on, let me just push back for a second, because there's no equivalent yet to going into like Little Havana in Miami with armored cars and heavily armed ICE agents, like going into Compton to go to a Home Depot here in Los Angeles. It just hasn't happened yet. Why not?
Because you don't have the same violent protests that are happening
in
LA
right now. But the raids themselves haven't happened.
The reason that the National Guard and the Army has had to come in is because there have been attacks on federal buildings. There have been attacks on ICE agents. And as you even contended, the original round of attacks had individuals and illegal immigrants holding Mexican flags. We've all seen the images. And that is the reason why it is being elevated in the media. But, and you're not seeing that happen.
Well, because you're just not seeing the raids. Is there going to be an equivalent of a raid on a Home Depot in Compton or Paramount or a clothing factory in South LA? It all happened just in the last week. When is the equivalent of that happening in Austin, Texas, Tallahassee, Florida, you know, on Houston, Texas, on and on? I can't point to anything yet. And you know damn well the media is going to be all over that if that happened anywhere, the equivalent of what we saw here in LA, going into heavily Latino or Hispanic neighborhoods and carrying out these raids. We see it in California. You don't see it in red states. I don't understand why not.
Deportations are happening everywhere. And as we are seeing, there are individuals in LA and throughout California in these sanctuary cities who are harboring illegal immigrants. We saw the judge in Wisconsin where the DOJ had to get involved because they were tipping people off to ICE raids. Unfortunately, and I do really mean unfortunately, that is happening in heavily Democrat cities, because in Republican strongholds and in conservative cities, you don't see people going up against law enforcement. So it is able to happen in a smoother fashion than it is, again, very unfortunately, in somewhere like LA.
If you guys there aren't seeing, if you have a couple of examples of raids into traditionally Latino neighborhoods in Florida and Texas, can you get them to me? So, I mean, I would love to be able to put them side by side. I understand you're saying that the aftermath of those raids were heated and it got destructive in a small area of downtown. But I'm saying is I don't even see examples of those raids in Florida and Texas. If you could send me a couple of examples, I want to see them and put them in the story.
I'll absolutely ask our team to put something together and email it over to you.
So you heard at the end there, I asked the RNC for some information to back up their assertion that these types of raids were happening in big cities in red states. As evidence of immigration enforcement actions in those Republican areas, the RNC did point out ICE raids that happened in Florida in April, where nearly 800 suspected illegal immigrants were arrested. The RNC also highlighted the arrest of 275 suspected undocumented people in an ICE operation in San Antonio, Texas, back in early May. Here in Los Angeles alone, as of June 11th, ICE says it had detained 330 alleged immigrants. Still not quite seeing anything equaling what we saw in Los Angeles last Friday in places like Florida and Texas, but stay tuned. Finally today, moving away from ICE and protests and immigration entirely, Measure ULA, commonly known as the Manchin tax, went into effect in LA County a little over 2 years ago. Voters approved it back in 2022. And while its supporters promised it would raise tens of millions of dollars in revenues, like every year, to be put towards affordable housing, it hasn't quite worked out that way. Economists at UC Irvine looked at the first 2 years of the Manchin tax and found it had some significant unintended consequences. I talked about it with UCI Irvine economist Jack Lieberson, who first explained how the tax worked.
A 4% tax to any property transaction over $5 million. So if you price your property at $4.999 million, you don't pay anything. But if you charge $5 million, then it adds an extra $200,000 bill at the time that you sell. Also, 0.5% tax on transactions above $10 million.
Lieberson says we're talking about a relatively small, albeit expensive, segment of the overall housing market in LA County, but more houses than you'd realize here are valued at $5 million or more.
It is the upper end of the market. It's something like only 5% of houses are above $5 million. Whether or not you think that is a mansion or not, I mean, that's sort of These are pretty expensive homes when you're looking at single family homes. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily like mansions with a lot of bedrooms on big estates and so on. They can be, you know, maybe a several bedroom house in one of the nicest neighborhoods in LA, for example.
He explained that what we saw after ULA passed was a huge spike in expensive homes hitting the market, followed by a steep slowdown in those sales.
In the time between the ballot measure passed and when it actually took effect, 6 months later, there was an enormous number of transactions. So people tried to sell their homes, move forward sales, anticipating what would happen. And then after it took effect, people basically stopped selling certain types of property. So in particular, commercial property, the number of transactions fell by a lot. Overall, there's something like a 50% decline in transaction volumes. The other thing, of course, is that if you're thinking of selling your home for $5.1 million, you'd be better off for selling it just below $5 million and in that way avoid the tax.
But it's not just about expensive homes that aren't selling or those mansion taxes that aren't being collected. ULA has also had an impact on renters in LA County.
The potential negative impacts are not just in terms of the property tax revenue, but potentially the incentives to build new apartment buildings, to build new office buildings, and so on. And those are also uncertain. But those could be other ways in which Measure ULA reduces the amount of building and ultimately might hurt renters in the city of LA.
The connection there is that developers buy land, build apartment buildings, and end up selling them for often more than $5 million. But the ULA tax seems to be discouraging that type of development from happening. In the end, Lieberson explained to us that the mansion tax might end up costing the county more in the long run. And that's thanks in part to how it interacts with Prop 13.
For a lot of sellers, they're paying taxes on an assessed value that's far below the market value of their home. But the moment they sell it, the tax assessment increases and it rises to whatever the current market price is. And when that happens, the city is going to gain a lot more property tax revenue going forward. And the problem with Measure ULA is that it reduces how often these properties get sold. And therefore, if the properties don't get sold, the assessed value doesn't jump to the market price like it otherwise would. And what that means is that going forward, we expect lower property tax collections.
He admits that it might be too early to do a full proper assessment on the mansion tax, but early signs are the measure won't deliver on its promise to raise extra sums of money to go toward developing affordable housing. Maybe today's LA local lesson across the board is be careful what you wish for. That has been the week kickoff edition of the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Curfews push back a little bit in downtown LA. It starts now at 10 p.m. Thankfully, it's been a lot quieter there in recent days. Be safe out there tonight, Southern California. See you tomorrow.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.